right. BA started up. Let's go to a show where we're rocking all night. I got an army, wanna party with 30 extra guys from the dusk to dawn till our minds are gone. Hang out with hangovers and hit up a con. Houston, Texas, are you feeling the love from a giant rocket ship coming down from above? Well,
Space City Nerd.
Don't you know, well,
Space City Nerd.
That's right, we're the kings and the queens of the things that you deem absurd. Sing it with me, y'all.
Space City Nerd.
All right, nerdcore.
Got that.
Chip tune.
Got that.
Read the magazine to check out the podcast. Action figures.
Got that.
Board games.
Got that.
TV shows and video games. Yeah, we got that. Take flight on a broken satellite. All right.
Hello and welcome to the 76th edition of the Space Eater Nerd Podcast. I'm Jesus, along with Ryan tonight.
I am so tired, dude.
Yeah,
we had an epic weekend.
I was going to say rough weekend. We had such a great weekend in Austin.
It wasn't rough. It was cool.
Well, no, that's what I said. I wasn't going to say that, but...
Sorry, I was jumping to conclusions. I started drinking before the podcast, so...
Oh, we're going to have a repeat of last week. So
I was drinking during. And I was drinking beer before. Last week I was drinking whiskey during, so it was really hitting me hard.
real quick recap of the weekend. We headed over on Friday night. We kind of stayed over at Ryan's house to get ready in the morning. And we headed over to Table 57, the new restaurant at HEB on San Felipe.
It's really good. I like the food there.
It's delicious. I think we ordered like $60 worth of food.
But it was still like cheap compared to like, you know, a lot of the restaurants around that area. And $60 among four people, that's still pretty good.
When you get a tuna steak burger for $10 and it's really good,
yeah,
that's the deal right there.
Yep. And then you get deviled eggs, and it was like four deviled eggs.
Yeah, and whoever hates Brussels sprouts, you're dumb, because we ate so many Brussels sprouts.
Oh, yeah. Brussels sprouts are off the chain. Table 57, I think they're opening it up one in the Hill, the I-10 Hillcroft, Bunker Hill HEB. But you want to check out, and the new store at HEB is pretty rad.
Yeah, we spent like, an hour just going through it and looking at stuff.
This has been brought to you by HEB. No, seriously, but yeah, it's pretty cool. It's kind of weird because when we left, we went further down on Fountainview and we saw the remnants of the old HEB.
It's too spooky now.
Yeah, it's very spooky. I wonder what they're gonna do with that land. Is he gonna turn it to more townhomes? Because that's apparently what everywhere in Houston's turned into townhomes.
One of the actual reason, because I mean, on a Friday night going to a restaurant at HEB doesn't sound like something you normally do, but we headed over there because the beer and wine guy Robert, he actually is the general manager there. Yep. So it was nice to kind of hang out and talk to him about his restaurant. His restaurant, yeah, that's, you know, because he runs it. Then Saturday morning we took off to Austin, started a day off with beer drinking.
Yeah, so we got to Austin. We got to one of our favorite stores, favorite places to visit in Austin, which Witchcraft Beer Store. Did they call it Witchcraft Beer Store?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I would call it a beer boutique.
Beer boutique, yeah. But their official name is Witchcraft Beer Store.
We have the interview coming up with the owner, who also let us taste a couple of Austin's like most readily available and most delicious beers.
Okay, so. You've had, you know, we've had the beer cup, you know, since back in Houston a couple of days. Which, looking back, which one do you think was your favorite?
Probably the Greenhouse.
Greenhouse.
Followed closely by, and I'm not a cider guy, but the cider that we had at the beginning.
Well, the thing is that you're not a cider guy, but you like that one, and you like Positive Contact, which is also a cider.
Oh, it's a cider?
Positive Contact is a cider, yeah.
Oh, wow. I thought it was an ale.
It's cider, but it has a lot of much stuff in it that you don't know it's a cider. I really like the Convict Hill one, and I really like the Dawson Beer Works Black Thunder. And funny thing is that I'm so bummed that we have Dawson Beer Works is not in Houston, because there's not Dawson Beer Works beer that I don't like.
It's in Houston, but it's very limited.
Really?
Yes.
They they said one truck down here and then.
Actually, I've seen it at the Nobi Shell.
Really?
So next time you're in Friends, would stop by there.
Oh man, I wonder if I can talk to the beer guys over at the Specs Midtown, see if they get anything.
Fix something. Yeah. Right after that, we headed over to Staples. And we had an amazing. Well, we were there for a little bit. We were kind of wearing off the staying up late on Friday night, yeah. And then getting up early and driving, and then doing the podcast, and then coming to Staple. We were there for both days, though. Amazing time. Really, really awesome little convention. 1,000 people showed up this year, which is the most that they've had.
Wow. Yeah. And it didn't feel like 1,000 people, but I guess they were coming and going.
Yeah, and it was really well organized, too.
Very, very well organized.
I know we picked up a bunch of art between all of us. I think we spent like $500,000 there.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know between my wife and I, we're like, I think over $200.
And then later on in the show, we have an interview with the one and only and the most cutest person in the world, Babs Tarr. Who actually did the redesign for Batgirl and is doing Batgirl right now. And then after that, we went to witness the spectacle that is Party World Wrestling and
Wrestling.
All of its party wrestling.
Wrestling, yeah.
And all of its party violence that is included with it. Coming out of that, Ryan, myself, and Sean are all wrestle buddies.
Yeah, wrestle buddies. It was... So I'm not a big wrestling guy, and I had tons of fun. With it. It's just the stunts they for an amateur wrestling league, the stunts they pulled were pretty impressive. That suplex off the turnbuckle was just like
dang. Off the top rope.
Off the top rope. I was like, dang, that's that was very impressive.
No, the level, I mean, you could tell some of the earlier guys were still getting there and their bearings straight, but the later matches, man, you know, the Nightcrawler match, and then even our buddy the cramps, even our buddy Sievert, he had his match. That was just, you know, when you see a cooler, when he got slammed against that cooler and just everything exploded, that was amazing.
The part of his character was he had to chug beer Lone Star to power up. Do you think that was real Lone Star? I didn't get to ask him.
It was pretty wasted later.
That was probably was real Lone Star. I mean, Lone Star is not a heavy beer. It's just still he drank four of them during the match.
I think it was more than that.
Probably, but it was a great time.
And you know, I gotta find out how we can sponsor our favorite wrestler, the Sonic Gentleman.
Oh man, so get this, guys. I know you weren't there, but the Sonic Gentleman is the number one. He's a caricature of a neckbeard who's cosplaying as a Sonic, and he got crowd. What you call it?
Crowd zone. Crowd instead zone. Of friend zone.
So he did. They did give him a. An opponent, so he was standing there about to read some fan fiction until the announcers were like, okay, you can fight this guy. It was just Daytona Dan, which is a NASCAR racer who was running around in circles, left circles, and then the ring.
They ended up, those Sonic Gentlemen ended up winning out of disqualification because, Daytona Dan was counted out. He went outside of the ring for a little bit to talk with his pit crew to get him buffed up and things.
Took too long. If his pit crew took too long.
And then the Sonic Gentleman then proceeded to tip his fedora. We're serious about this. Yeah, and then also ask any intellectual ladies if they wanted to go on a date with him. So, but no, it's a very unique... Party World Wrestling is very unique. It's got a great sense of humor to it, with really good talent in the ring.
Yeah, and this is first time actually at a venue, right?
Yeah, this is their first venue show. I think they packed that place. That was an 800 capacity place.
Yeah, no, we were like bumping elbows with people.
Yeah, we were lucky to get ringside that night,
too. Yeah, we worked our way towards the ringside. We were at the back.
We sacrificed drinking beer.
Yes, we just like, we didn't. We're like, we have beer at the hotel. We are going to stand here, stake our claim, and watch the wrestling. And we became wrestle buddies because of that.
And we also discovered Uber, which is excellent.
Yep.
But no, check Party World Wrestling out on Facebook. They've got some really great promos and little mini documentaries about each of their wrestlers. You'll find out about Pasta Man and Luigi, which was a great match.
I think that match had a lot of energy.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it did. Pasta Man brought it. So, but that's what you do when, you know, your family's on the line.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Exactly.
But moving along, like, we just want to also thank Uncle Staple, and he's been on the show a couple of times, but he was the reason why we went to Austin this weekend, and he blew us away with a really good show, really well put together list of guests and artists, and I was impressed. 10/10 would go again.
Yeah, I would definitely go again next year. It was a great show. For a small show, there was a lot of things to do, a lot of stuff to see, a lot of stuff to buy. I ain't even mad. I knew my money went supporting good artists.
Where are you gonna hang all those up at?
Well, half of them I'm gonna put in my office at home, and then one of the small, I'm gonna put the Babstar, Bulma, and Ninja Turtles at my office at work. And then that Leonardo. God, I forgot the name of the artist. I'm so sorry. I'll probably have that one at work, and then I'll have the Ultraman Flying Mothra in my, right above my head at my desk at home.
But I have to figure out where to hang mine up, you know. Where do I move? Do I move the original David Mack painting, the original Jim Mafu painting?
Oh, that's true.
I'm
lucky because I have a bunch of empty walls here in my new place. And at work, I just got moved into an office, so yay! And so I can put stuff up. But I bought a large print for Tim Doyle, a large print for Ghost in the Shell, and my wife got a large print of like an Evangelion, and they're not small. You saw what the thing I posted on Instagram and my Shaq Zine on the bottom. The Shaq Zine is a regular sized book, and everything got dwarfed by all the other posters.
So we'll have some pictures up. We'll try to do a little write up on the weekend itself to go more into detail. Speaking of VVA, what was that thing that you were talking to me about?
Oh, Evangelion. Yeah. Okay. So apparently Japan has this crowdfunding thing. I don't know the Japan's Kickstarter or Karatil or Patreon, whatever.
Would it be like Karate Kickstarter?
Karate Starter. It'll be yeah. So they want to for those who are not Evangelion fans, there's the Spear of Longinus, which it's kind of like, I don't want to get too convoluted because freaking Evangelion is convoluted, but they found a spear sticking out the moon, and when like the third impact got triggered, and I'm not going to go into the Evangelion. We're going to be here for like 10 hours, but they want to put this spear, this red spear, in the moon, like launch it in the moon, and people are paying money for it. Which, do I say, are y'all idiots? Why are we spending good money to freaking deface the moon? If we're going to deface the moon, I'd rather put a giant CH on it. Get it? From the tick?
From the tick, yeah.
Yeah. No, not even that. I think it's silly. Why would you spend good money on that? And it's probably not going to happen, because there's someone's going to be like, I don't care how much money you're going to pay me. I'm not going to deface the moon. And you're just going to be stick a giant spear in there, and like, you know, what scientific thing would we get out of that?
Well, I'm just wondering, what kind of an agency would you have to go to be like, hey, can you launch this into the moon, please, for me?
Probably like a private space thing. We have that now.
But I don't know if they'd be I don't think they'd be allowed to.
No, you wouldn't. And no one owns the moon. Well, not yet.
Except the Nazis.
Except on the other side of the moon. Yes. I didn't know they made it Iron Sky 2. I want to watch that.
I thought it was still in production.
It's still in production? Okay. If you have not seen Iron Sky, watch it. It's
Nazis on the moon.
Nazis on the moon. It's really a kind of anti-America movie. It kind of shows like a really bad mirror up to America, but it's a good movie.
The protagonist, oh god.
Yeah. And then, you know, and Sarah Palin's president. But yeah, so don't deface the moon. You ain't Billy Corgan from Smashing Pumpkins and not launch in the eye. I know it's from the original movie, you know, launching the thing and then hitting the moon in the eye. Please don't do that. We need the moon.
For lunar, like, ocean stuff.
Yeah, as a bunch of rats said back in, like, a decade ago, we like the moon because it is good to us. Do you remember that?
Yeah. No, and I know Eva's full of like fancy technology and all that. Another piece of fancy technology came out that I did not pay attention to because I really didn't care about it. I'm not an Apple user, but the Apple Watch.
Oh yeah, the Apple Watch. Well, I'm gonna poke fun at you because I was like, you can't because they don't make a Windows watch.
They do have the Windows band.
They do? Oh, it's a fitness band though, right?
It still has like a lot of feature that you can like move around and stuff. Yeah. It syncs with your watch.
All right, that's cool.
Yeah, oh, so shut up.
Okay, my bad. I know the Moto, the Android Wear stuff is pretty cool. So they released it. They announced it. It's gonna come out in April. I was looking forward to it. When they first announced it last year, I'm like, cool. I'm on a Kickstarter for the Pebble. And I really like my Pebble a lot, but yeah, I am not getting an Apple Watch. Number one, it's way too expensive. The Apple Watch with the standard like sports strap is like $350, but if you have a big wrist, i.e., you're a man, you'll have to pay $400.
Or you're a woman with a big wrist.
Huh? Yeah, if you have a big wrist, or a lady with a big wrist, you'll have to pay $400. And if you, but I wanted one, like I was like, hey, I want one with a nicer band, a metal band. That's probably going to cost you $650. They can go up to like over $1,000.
I read somewhere that the gold iWatch is $10,000.
Yes, if you want a gold iWatch, and then you can get $10,000. I'm sorry. If I have $10,000 to spend on a watch, I'd probably get a nice Rolex. A nice, awesome Rolex with a diamond in it. Not.
You know what you could get for $10,000 right now?
A car.
No, aside from that.
What?
You can go to Sam's and get yourself a like barrel of Jack Daniels, like single barrel.
Yeah, you could have Jack Daniels for life with $10,000. So, here's the thing. Okay, Let's say I'm rich and I can just be like $10,000 on a watch. What would you spend and I still want to get my money's worth. Should I spend it on a piece of technology that I know that they're probably going to make the iWatch the Apple Watch S next year?
I'd rather get the who makes Rolex. The moon watch? No. That watch on the moon.
Watch on the
moon. No.
Nazi watch.
Nazi moon watch. It's the astronaut watch.
Omega.
Yeah, Omega does it.
Yeah, Omega. See, Omega is such a good watchmaker that the Olympics want them to keep time.
Well, no, that's the one that goes up to space,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, see, I'm looking at it right now. There's this awesome Omega stainless steel for $8,000. Looks magnificent. Look, that's not going to crash on you. And you know, guess what? That Omega will keep on ticking after 18 hours. The Apple Watch won't.
Yeah, I mean, like, some of their first watches are still, like, going right now, so...
Yeah. What kind of watch cannot last 24 hours? The Apple Watch boasts 18 hours of battery life. I know there's limitations because it's a tiny computer thing, but look, the Pebble lasts 5 to 7 days.
You know, the only thing I'm jealous is because they're probably going to mod it out with, like, different things, like... You know they're going to come out with, like, the... Metal Gear Solid kind of like theme to it, or
yeah. Well, no, I I have on my Pebble, I have the Persona 4 watch face, which is like just like the watch, just like the clock they have on Persona 4 Golden or Persona 4 on the upper left, where it shows the time and what the weather is. It's really neat.
I saw one of them has like a Pokemon theme.
Yeah. So
yeah. I mean, that's probably the only cool thing is like interchangeable faceplates.
Which you can find with the Pebble, with the Android, with the Moto 360, with any watch. Just all it really needs is support from the community, and Pebble's community support is getting up there. I actually might go ahead and kickstart the Pebble Time, if I want an update to my Pebble, I'd probably get a Pebble Time, and it's $250 for the one I want. For the regular Pebble Time, it's like $180, but I want a nicer one, the one that's actually steel and metal. So that's $250. But if I want a steel or metal Apple Watch, I'm looking at $800, guys. That's no good. Oh, man, I know, and then in the future we'll get the Apple Watch S or the Apple Watch Mini or the Apple Watch Plus.
I mean, I haven't seen like whatever it does, because like I said, it's not of interest to me.
Yeah, it's not gonna.
But what is it? What does it do other than, you know, like?
Well, it boasts like really good like a health tracker. There's also we don't know yet because it comes with app support. Maybe they'll make some really cool apps on it. I could FaceTime on it maybe, and
yeah, but like, I mean
Tracy, but it's still
regardless, you're gonna take your phone out, you know, no matter what.
Yeah,
you know, it's gonna be dumb if you have one of those 6 Plus.
Yeah,
like the giant tablet size phone.
It's not a bad size actually.
Yeah, but you're gonna be running around like with your watch instead. Yeah,
and. Like I want my watch to show, of course, time, weather, and when my phone buzzes, I want to look at my wrist to see who it is, and then before I grab it, or it's kind of cool that I can stop music with it, because when I walk around, I use older pair of headphones because I like them, and it doesn't have the little button for it. But
most of that you can do without like the iPhone, yeah. The Apple Watch.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. Like when I stop and start my music, I can do that with my Pebble.
The only thing I would want that would convince me is like if it had a Dragon Ball style radar in case I lose my phone.
yeah, that'd be fine. I mean, it probably has. Because whenever I lose my phone, this is going to sound like I'm just going to be such a douche, but whenever I lose my phone and I can't find it, which happens a lot because I'm a dumbass, I take up my iPad and use Find My iPhone app on my iPad. And then I turn on and then I do a force beep on it and it goes beep, beep. And I was like, oh, there's my iPhone. Yeah. and failing that, I use my Mac if I can't find either one of them.
Oh, wow.
I'm a dumbass.
So you have backup and more backup.
Yes, but if I can't find all three, then I'm screwed.
All right, we're going to take our first break. We're in a good mood, a pretty groovy mood, so we're going to do a couple of dance songs. First off is going to be Fat Bottom Girls by Queen, of course. It's remixed by Creandroids, who are actually comprised of DJ RoboRob and Beaker. You can find their stuff at creandroids.bandcamp.com. That's Crayon Droids together, just in case you couldn't hear me or whatever. And we're going to play a pre-recorded interview or the little tasting that we had at Witchcraft for the middle section. So bear with us in that, and we'll come back right after the song and the interview and another song. So, yeah, be right back.
Fat, 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 fat Okay. So we are on our voyage of Austin for Staple Weekend. We decided to stop into the Witchcraft Beer Store. We were here in July.
Right? During Classic Games Fest.
During Classics Game Fest. We fell in love with the store. And we came back, and now they have, like, a ton more of inventory, so we're probably going to leave our girlfriends and wives for the store.
This is my first time, so I'm expecting to...
Oh, yeah, you weren't here in Classic Games Fest.
Right.
Yeah. And so this is my first time here, so I'm just hoping it's gentle.
Yeah, isn't it amazing? Wall-to-wall craft beer.
And we all know how much we love craft beer. And actually, our beer and wine guy, the guy that does our reviews, he's very jealous right now.
Is he?
Yes.
He's missing out.
And you hear that voice. That's actually Jody Reyes, the owner of Witchcraft.
Hello,
and
hello.
He's joining us. He's going to let us sample some of Austin's finest beers tonight. So what did we pour first?
Yeah, so I picked six different things. So hope you guys are settling into a nice cozy chair, and hopefully your listeners have a beer themselves to drink while they're doing this. But I was like starting tastings with something that's a little bit different than the things that we'll get into later. This is the first one we're doing is actually a cider. So there's a fairly new cidery here in town called Texas Keeper. They opened up just about 6 or 7 months ago. It's three folks who grew up literally right in our neighborhood here in Barton Hills. So super local. They're very nice folks. And their head cider maker spent years in New Zealand making wine, actually. So he has a ton of pedigree when it comes to this. So this is their fourth release they've done. It's actually a cider weizen is what they call it. So one of the other founders, Brandon, he he came from the homebrewing world. So he always had this vision of creating a cider that had the best things from the Hefeweizen world, the banana clove sorts of flavors, marrying that up with the really clean and crisp apple fruit flavors, obviously, of a cider. So that's what they attempted to do. They used a few different yeast blends in this one, so it actually has a little bit of that banana clove thing you would get from a Hefeweizen. Yeah, but it is an apple product. It's gluten-free.
Yeah, definitely getting that on the back end. You know,
it's very... Not even dry at all.
Oh, like a banana smoothie almost.
Yeah, that smoothie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice. But it still doesn't overpower the apple either. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's nice. A little bit of that clove, cardamom sort of spice. It's awesome.
It's very summer beer. Just drink it outside.
Yeah.
Very refreshing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it.
So, I mean, since it's a cider weizen, what is it categorized as?
It's still an apple product. It's still gluten-free.
It's still a cider.
Yes, sir. Wow. It is, because they're not actually adding any wheat like you would in Hefeweizen. It's literally just... apple.
Our buddy Rex, he just got diagnosed with like gluten allergy.
You should bring this to
him. Oh man.
Well, he should have been here this weekend. So.
Is this the same guy you were just talking about?
Yeah, he should have been here this weekend. So.
Yeah.
No, Robert. That was Robert.
Oh, yeah,
Robert's our beer guy. Rex, he's usually on the podcast.
Gotcha.
I don't see how you could be a beer guy and have a gluten allergy. That would totally.
Maybe he was a beer guy.
Probably shattered his world. It's like being a cupcake guy and having diabetes.
So we came here in July. How long had the store been open?
We opened Easter weekend 2014, so April 19th.
So we came here when it was pretty new.
Yeah, y'all are reaching your one-year anniversary.
You got it. Coming right up.
Sweet. Are y'all doing anything special?
Cool? We are. I can't talk about it just yet, but just know that we are.
No, it's like, and one of the reasons that we enjoy this store, like, you'll see Ryan's pictures on the site and on the Facebook and everything, but it's just, like you said, wall-to-wall craft beer bottles. I know we have a lot of, like, growler fill stations in Houston, but we don't have a bottled store.
Yeah. You know, it's, when I was doing my first initial business planning for the model, I personally am not a huge fan of growlers for a couple different reasons. Number one, there are very few beers where I want to drink 64 ounces of it. So, I know that I am in the minority in this opinion. I just don't find a ton of beers where I want to drink that much in one sitting, because you can't really store it either.
Exactly.
You know, once you crack it open, you got clock's ticking. So I always knew that for location number one, simplest concept is best. And if we could really do it well and run a successful business and have customers come back just doing bottles and cans to go, then I knew that we could expand from there in future locations and offerings and really, incorporate more things that people would like to see. Some on-premise consumption, perhaps, some growlers, that kind of thing, more events and pairings and those types of things. But I knew if we could do the simplest concept first and we could make it successful, then we could grow from there.
Exactly. What do you think of crawlers?
I love it. I think they're super cool.
We are like neighborhood, like Vietnamese, like pub.
Yeah.
It's called Nobi. They're getting your crawler machine.
That's awesome.
So I'm excited.
What's crawler?
Oh, crawler is, instead of having a glass growler, you have a can that gets the lid put on differently, like every time.
Oh, cool.
It's a can growler.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So usually they're 32 ounces as opposed to 64.
Okay.
And they literally will put the top on just like you would you know, at a, when you're manufacturing the beer, it actually puts it on it and seals it.
Nice.
And so when you crack it open, it's like opening a gigantic can. Yeah, for sure. We've got one from Cigar City up there. See? Oh. Yeah. That's it's pretty cool. I know. It's a pretty cool concept. And Oscar Blues is the company that actually created the technology, so they're the ones who sell these crowler machines now.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Very cool.
It's pretty slick.
And I can't wait to try one of those. And it's also, what's the other company? There's another company that always sells 32-ounce beers in cans.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, Mission.
Mission.
Mission, yes, out of San Diego. Yeah.
Yeah, that I get one of those, and that's like my... I sit down and game. That's my whole drink for the night. So.
Pretty much.
That's your evening beer. That's your porch beer.
Or if you shotgun it, then you kickstart your evening.
No, we're
maybe not. That might be a bit aggressive.
Yeah, we're notorious for shot. Yeah, this guy shotgunned more cowbell.
Oh, boy.
Yes. That's like 10%.
You only need to do one of those, right? For sure. So the next thing I'm pouring is an Austin classic. It's not technically Austin, but we claim them as our own. It's Real Ale. Real Ale is one of Texas's oldest craft breweries, obviously. They recently went through a rebranding project, so literally everything has changed with regard to how Real Ale looks and feels. And one of the ones that has been a classic for them is Hans Pils. This is a gold medal winner in previous years from JMBF. It's just an absolute classic German-style Pilsner. Clean, crisp, bready malt. Yeah, it's just the perfect can beer. But they have a new can now. So they still have Hans, which is the actual owner's dog, on the side of it, which is great. We didn't want to lose the Hans part of it. So I was like throwing this in tastings when we were doing kind of a survey tasting, just because it's an absolute classic. It's a perfectly well-made beer. And we can't get Live Oak's fantastic beers in cans yet, so Hans Pils is our go-to Pilsner.
You're right. It's perfect can beer. Mm-hmm. Just pop it open, cold beer,
That's very good, like summer beer.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. Finishes light and crisp, but you just get a ton of bready malt.
Yeah.
Now, the good thing is, Real Ale, we can get in Houston. So, the cider-wise, you're out of luck. It's delicious, but just taste it through our words.
Totally. And who lives in Houston doesn't want to do a road trip to Austin?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah. We just did it.
There you go.
It's doable.
There you go. I was actually just in Houston about a month ago. We had the Texas Craft Brewers Guild annual meeting down there. So we went to Eighth Wonder, which I'd never been to.
Hmm.
And then we went to the Mecca of St. Arnold. The place is crazy.
It is.
Awesome.
Eighth Wonder's going on their anniversary coming up, too.
Yeah.
So that, they have having a big party and all that. If you've never seen the Suffers from Houston, they're like a neo-soul band.
Oh.
Awesome. Oh, they're so amazing.
And they're going to play out there?
Mm-hmm.
Sweet.
So you might have to make a road trip.
I love it. I was drinking at this Guild event because I was, you know, it was an industry event, so I was meeting a bunch of new people, so I was trying not to get too sloppy. So I was drinking the Rocket Fuel Vietnamese coffee porter because it's like 4.8%. Did you know that? Like, it's so much flavor. It's insane. I was putting them down like nothing because it has so much flavor for 4.5%. I was blown away.
And then you realize that it was too much.
That's true. Sneaky devil. Steady. Pretty much. I know. I love Hans.
So, any plans to move out to Houston with the store?
No time soon. You know, we're actually in the very early planning phases for location number two here in Austin. But the plan is to densify Austin first before we figure out how to go outside.
No.
Yeah.
It's so warm and inviting here.
Thank you.
I think that's what makes it you know, witchcraft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just maybe like an hour before you guys came in, we had the manager from a local Specs come in, and she had never been in, so we were walking her through. Yeah, and I was asking her the same thing. What do you think? She loved it. The owner of Community.
That's right. Yeah, I know the names of like all these different beers that they don't have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's great.
She bought two beers for $70, literally.
Wow.
She found two of the most expensive beers in the shop, but they were two of the ones that she can't get. At her specs, you know, so.
I kind of want to know what the beers cost that much.
I'll tell you. One is Deus, which is a Belgian beer brewed and bottle conditioned with champagne yeast. That's $40. And then Rodenbach Character Rouge. Character Rouge is, Rodenbach makes sours and fooders, you know. And so this one, they aged on sour cherries, raspberries, and cranberries, addition to aging it in oak. So it has a little bit of tartness, a little bit of fruit sweetness to it. It's perfectly well-balanced. It's fantastic. And I was 25, so.
Well,
how did you come across a beer like that in your truck? You know,
how
did you go to get it into the store?
So, you know, one of the interesting thing about this industry is there there's a scarcity model, right? So one of the great things about having a bottle shop is we see, you know, our best customers, regular customers, once, twice a week because there's so many new things coming out every single week. You guys know this.
Yes.
People are chasing beer all the time. But the flip side of that, from a business standpoint, from a retailer standpoint, is there's so much scarcity that I can never have as much inventory as I want to have to be able to sell to all the customers who want it. Mm-hmm. So we just went through this yesterday with Prairie's latest release, their Apple Brandy Noir. You know, we got 7 cases of it, which is a healthy amount, but it was gone in about 2.5-3 hours. And we're, it's not like we're selling people a case at a time. You know, we're doing a limit of 2 bottles.
Yeah,
so it's really tough. So a lot of it comes down, what I spend the majority of my time doing is building these relationships with our suppliers, both our distributors and our brewery partners, to get more and more allocation. Because the, and literally this is something I do every single day that I'm at work, is fight for these allocations. It's the difficult, the most difficult part. Because being a specialty shop with so many different bottles and cans options here, we're not going to sell any one particular brand or one particular brewery at a ridiculous clip like a Specs would. You know, Specs, you put a floor stack of Firestone Walker or whatever, and they're going to sell through a pallet of that stuff in a week, weekend. And we just can't do that because we have so many different options unless we're a specialty shop. So a lot of this is it's just building relationships and really working those relationships with our distributors and suppliers, because this is the type of shop that their breweries want to be represented well in. You know what I mean?
And yeah, like our beer guy, he wrote out an open ed about how it's, how important it is to support your local craft store, you know, because of the fact that that's how they allocate is because what sells.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Yep. So it's difficult. It's one of the toughest parts of the business because we, you know, don't sell a crap load of Firestone Walker everyday beers. Union Jack and Double DBA, or excuse me, and Double Barrel and Peebo Pils. But when Sakaba and Velvet Merkin come out,
everybody wants it.
Everybody wants it.
Exactly.
You know, so it's really difficult. And from the brewery standpoint, I totally get it because it's they make their money, they plan their business on being able to sell the year round beers at a particular clip.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't, I don't want to say they don't make money on their special releases, but there's such little amount of that stuff, it's not what keeps the lights on.
They use the money from their regular releases to
fund the fun stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Step out of line a little bit and try some like weird stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And,
That's exactly right. So the next one I did is another local favorite, Oasis Texas Brewing. They're just out on Lake Travis. They are another brewery that's less than a year old. These guys came to market in May, June of 2014, a little time after we opened. We were one of the first retailers in Austin to carry them. They have three beers in cans in the market currently. The one we're drinking is London Homesick, and it's the most unique one of the three that I find. So it's my favorite, and it's also a gold medal winner from 2014 GABF. Mm. They describe it as a British pub ale. So if you think about an ESB, an extra special bitter, this is an ESB from a malt profile, but not quite as high ABV and not quite as malty. So this is only 4.9%.
Very smooth.
Super smooth, very sessionable, but you still get all that kind of malt sweetness without the, you know, it's under 5%. You can, you know, take these on the river and make it home.
Float down the river.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
This is crazy. Mm-hmm. It's like...
Yeah.
Have you ever floated down the river here and just drank beer on the river?
Yeah.
Have you done it, Sean?
I have not.
You guys got to figure out
how to... I've not partaken in the tubing lifestyle.
You have not lived life.
You got to figure out how to take the podcast gear on the river and actually podcast.
Laying there. No, this is really
where there's a will, there's a way, like guys. A last recording, kind of like Grizzly Man or something. Hey, there's a bear in those woods. Let's go talk to it.
You're going to hate it because we're in a nice beer place. Mm-hmm. But when I was, first time I ever went tubing, we drank a bunch of Four Locos.
There you go. God, that's...
I was...
That would get it done.
So drunk.
Like I said, it's the lifestyle.
Yeah. Love it. Yes, so that's Oasis. That's another thing that's great about these guys is all three of their year-round beers are all under 5% ABV. So super sessionable.
Oh, wow,
great design.
Nice
local company. They, excuse me. They're getting ready to release sometime this year a fourth year-round beer in cans, and it's like a Mosaic Session IPA, which is going to be incredible. Because Mosaic is the... What's that?
He gave us dates for that 19th for taps, 20th in cans.
This month?
Yeah.
For the Mosaic?
Yeah, or for the Session IPA.
Yeah, that's awesome.
There you go. Make it up here for the 20th and you can get some cans.
There you go. Sounds incredible.
Or if you were stuck in Houston and you have nothing but a bicycle,
You have time now.
I know. Start mm-hmm. making the trek now.
For sure.
All right.
That was really good.
So I got three options left. Do you guys want to do a black lager next or an IPA?
Let's do the black lager.
Let's do it. All right. So next up is Austin Beer Works, a classic. At least for Austinites. I don't think you guys get them down there.
Very rarely.
Okay.
It's like limited supply. Mm-hmm. Kind of like Four Corners in Dallas is to us.
Yes. So Austin Beer Works is a classic and iconic Austin brand. They've only been around for just over 3 years now, but it's insane how much beer they sell, pretty much just in the Austin market. And it's a kind of a complete package because the beer is very good and it's very consistent, and they have fantastic and creative marketing. Which
99 beer can.
Yeah, exactly. 99 pack, which, I mean, to be frank, helps sell beers, you know, and owning a bottle shop, packaging has a lot to do with it, because when you have so many options on the shelf, there's just so much stuff to sort through, and really, packaging that really pops and grabs the eye's attention totally stands out. It absolutely does.
Now, did you at the store get one of those? Or?
We did, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we did. It was crazy. We had like a dozen people waiting in the store when it arrived. We had to auction it off.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. It happened to be people who, it's actually the folks from Do512, which is like a entertainment website. Uh-huh. They office just a block away. So what's funny is they walked down here to get it, so they had to walk this thing back. So I went out to the center like of the street, which is South Lamar, which is a ridiculously busy street in Austin. And I took like a Wes Anderson style video, like single, you know, straight on frame as these guys walked past the bus stop. It was pretty good.
Now, if you don't know what we're talking about, Austin Beer Works released a 99-can pack, which, I mean, yeah. the packaging, you couldn't put that in a regular truck, could you?
Oh, no. No way. Yeah. It was like 8-9 feet long.
Wow.
I mean, it weighed like 60 pounds. It was insane.
Wow.
60 or 80 pounds, yeah. It was 99 Peacemakers is what it was.
Wow.
Yeah.
I gotta try this then.
Yeah. So this is Black Thunder. I chose this because it's stylistically not one you see much out and about. It's a German style Schwarz beer, meaning black lager, or black beer, I should say. But it's fantastic because they use a ton of roasted malt, so you get all that kind of coffee cocoa flavors you would from a stout. But using lager yeast, it finishes very light and crisp.
Yeah.
So it's a very kind of deceptive beer. We like pouring this one for people who. Because every now and again, you people who say, I don't like dark beers. And what they mean is they don't like big, bitter Russian Imperial Stouts that are 10.5% ABV or whatever. So the reason I like pouring this one is it's deceptive. You know, that what you see in the glass, you know, being almost pitch black is very different from what you actually perceive.
Now, I'm someone that does not like stouts. I'm a huge IPA guy.
Yeah.
But I enjoy this.
Yeah, drink
this is
yeah.
the lightest like,
mm-hmm.
beer.
Totally.
Very. Mm-hmm. Well, lightest, darkest beer.
Yeah.
It really had that strong cocoa or you know, coffee like mm-hmm. aroma like right off the top. Mm-hmm. And then I drank and I'm like, I'm expecting like a really strong...
Or just a mouthful. That's what that would be, yeah.
But it's, like you said, it's like surprisingly light. Like, oh, yeah. Wow, okay.
Yeah,
it's good.
It is.
My brain
it's
had to like
deceptive.
Switch paths. Like,
yeah.
Midway through the sip, we're like, wait, no, we're not getting this. We're going this way.
Yes. Yeah, I like this one quite a bit. And this one won a gold medal at JBF in 2013.
And
yep.
All these gold medal winners in Austin.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy. Well, I mean, you know, it's kind of stacking the deck here a little bit, too.
<It's like>
to be honest.
We need to come up with our own gold medal.
We got to bring you down so you could try some of our like local breweries out there.
That would be awesome. Yeah, some of that stuff just doesn't make it up here. So
yeah, the Texas Beer Refinery, Eighth Wonder.
Yeah.
What else do we have over there?
Carbuckles.
But only recently, really in the last 3 or 4 months.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Wow. So Buffalo Bayou make it up here?
Buffalo Bayou comes up about once a month.
Hmm.
Yeah, they've got a little shipping service that they pay to basically deliver stuff to Austin Market once a month.
It's self-distribute?
Yeah.
Yep.
Don't you hate those distribution laws?
You know, it's... Yes and no. I mean, yes and no. Mostly yes. I'll put it that way.
We'll leave it at that.
Well, I mean, I don't know how much time we have. I don't want to go off on a diatribe. But there are some laws that actually I don't mind. As long as... Here's what it is. As long as the brewery's wishes are abided by, as long as they're followed, then we're 100% fine with it. It's when it's not, and it's when breweries lose their rights to their brand. You know, when a distributor can choose to sell the rights legally, written in the contract, they can choose to sell the rights, you know, and I know tomorrow with no financial recourse for the breweries, that's when it really is awful.
And that was a big controversy. Yeah,
exactly. And that's what they're going to try and change in this year's legislative session.
This is, okay, this is I saw what you poured, and I'm excited.
Smell it already.
I've been wanting to try this.
Yeah.
So this is
Hops and Grain, another local fave of ours. This is the Greenhouse batch number 15. So the fascinating thing about this project for Hops and Grain is they used to do it once a month. They would put out a new batch of Greenhouse, and the hops would always be a little different each time. Basically, it'd be the same malt bill, they just change out the dry hopping each time. Recently, starting in 2015, they've done it more often. So every 2 to 3 weeks, they're actually putting out a new batch. So this is batch number 15, just came out about a week ago. This one is primarily Citra. I think it's about 50% Citra. Also, I forget the other ones. Meridian, and I forget. But super citrusy.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Wow.
That is fantastic.
I would pay for an air freshener that smelled like this.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that excellent? Yeah, we were able to snag a good quantity of this one. We still have some left, which is blowing my mind.
I'm probably going to buy all of them. So.
Yeah, for sure. It's fantastic. But, I mean, this whole series, because they sell through them so fast, and they only make about 300 to 400 cases each batch, you know, we get 15, 20 cases of this, and they're gone in a matter of days. So they're always so fresh.
Hops and Grain.
Hops and Grain. Yeah, they're just on the east side of town, here in town.
Okay, cool.
Super nice guys. Fantastic, you know, mission and vision. They're all about sustainability. They're all about, like, the highest pinnacle of cleanliness and science. Like, Josh Hare, their founder, used to be a science teacher. So they do all sorts of... Everyone in the brewery, every single employee in the brewery once a week has to go through an off-flavor tasting.
It's like Breaking Bad, but legal.
It is. It's crazy. You know, and like that's one of the things that we see a fair amount with pretty new breweries that are just starting up is a lot of people come from the home brewing world. It makes sense, logically. But to go from home brewing to commercial brewing, it's going from, Little League to the major leagues without going through any of the minors, you know? Yeah. I mean, it's a whole different ballgame. You have so many... chemical issues you need to deal with, you have sanitation issues, it's insane. I mean, it's really a whole different ballgame. So, one of the things I always love about Hops and Grain is their diligence around the chemistry of all this stuff and off flavors and actually making quality beer consistently is unmatched. At least I haven't seen this level of intensity about how they make the beers. It's really fascinating.
You really can kind of tell.
You can taste it.
I'm like the opposite here. It's like I like, you know, a lot of, you know, black and lagers, and so I'm not really an IPA guy, but this...
You drink this, right?
Yeah, this is... Like, it doesn't immediately kind of make me just, like...
Cringe
a little bit.
Yeah.
This one's...
It's fantastic.
Nice. Yeah. IPA
level. You like the beers where it's just, like, they drop the hops in for, like, half a second.
Yeah, you like barley wine, so...
Yeah.
Alas, I did not choose any barley wines for us.
This is awesome.
Right? Yeah.
I would have to say this one's my favorite.
There you go.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that for the non-IPA guy.
Yeah. Right?
Well, so far, I like the last one, the Austin Beer Works one.
Austin Beer Works?
Yeah. That dark, but does not taste dark beer.
We should go visit them.
We should.
Delicious.
Thank you.
Have tomorrow. You guys had any of the ones that we've had so far? Are these all
actually,
new for
no,
all
these are,
you?
These are new?
These are all new for me.
Nice. Love it.
So.
I did well.
The last one's probably going to be like a Buffalo Bayou.
The car block.
Yeah, so the last one I chose was Independence Brewing Company. Mm-hmm. Another Austin classic. These guys have been around for just over a decade now. And they've really been a staple in the Austin scene for that whole time. It's family owned and run. Rob and Amy Cartwright, super nice folks. This is their Convict Hill, and this is kind of a classic oatmeal stout. Mm. We haven't had anything besides the Black Thunder, which is a, you know, a dark lager. We haven't had any stouts or porters or anything yet for this go around. So I wanted to choose something on the stout world, and I just love this one. It's simple, it's easy drinking for a stout. They use oatmeal as part of the malt base, so obviously you get a little bit of chewiness and a little bit of soft, round mouthfeel.
Oh yeah,
you're the stout guy, so how is it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely like right at the front, you know, kind of, and then it, like. Mm-hmm. Once again, it has that really strong, like, cocoa.
Yeah.
Kind of a little bit more than the other black lager.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, as a biased IPA drinker, I'm still going for the Black Thunder.
Yeah. Nice. I mean, so this one's definitely a little bit more roasty, yeah, very bitter, smoky, bitter,
smoky, roasty. Yeah,
I can imagine as if I were a stout lover, I would be like, okay, this is what I'm going to drink on a nightly basis.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. But this is one that's like, yeah, can you have with like dessert?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
Convicts like camera and gets a rock.
Yeah, so the label.
Yes, I'm sure right. There's some. There's got to be some history so there. I don't know what it
you
is.
You pretty much have like a beer for every period of the day.
Yeah, right. Here. Pretty much.
When you wake up, and you crack that first one.
Yes, indeed. So I don't know the story behind Convict Hill. There's some convicts on the label, so I guess there's a local lore about this. There must be. But when you drive out to Jester King on Highway 290, there's actually a Convict Hill Road. Oh, that you pass by. So every time I pass by that, I think of this beer. Maybe. I'm sure there's some connection. I just don't know what it is. So.
We'll have to dig into that. So,
So research.
When we asked, like, I contacted you, mm-hmm. and you asked me, like, what are to choose some of Austin's best beers. Yeah. You asked me if I wanted something that was like the overall best.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to be like, you know, wasting your supply of like snorkel or anything.
It's always a good
like
excuse to drink that stuff.
But instead, all of these beers are readily available all year, right? Except for the Greenhouse, that changes.
Exactly, yeah. That was the only one that I had a little bit of concern about. But with how Hops and Grain's putting out Greenhouse now going forward, there should always be Greenhouse available in the market. It'll just be a different batch each time, which frankly is part of the fun.
Yeah.
Because it's always a different set of hops. And the other thing is when they do primarily one or two hops, you get to know the character of those hops more so than you would. Otherwise, all four of these, or five of these, are readily your round available beers.
No, so I mean, I think maybe the only one that we could probably get is Convict Hill. I've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
I know the London one, the London
Homesick. Yeah,
those guys are out there once in a while. Cool. Oasis out there, but everything else you have to come to Austin to get. Yeah. Real L we can get. But also sparsely.
Sure.
So, but yeah, if you guys are ever in Austin, please come to Witchcraft so you can enjoy this. You want to give out like details, address, Twitter, Facebook, etc.?
Sure, yeah, all the stuff that people can help find us. So we're on South Lamar in Austin. Witchcraft, we should probably know to spell W-H-I-C-H, Witchcraft. It's all one word, Witchcraft Beer Store. We're on South Lamar, right next to Black Sheep Lodge. Our Twitter handle is @WitchcraftATX. Our Facebook page is Witchcraft Austin. Instagram is WitchcraftATX.
What do you post on your Instagram? Just pictures of beers?
Pretty much, yeah. You know, we get so many new releases in a given week. Like, this top shelf behind me, for the people who are listening, there's about 20 beers up there, and the shelf below that is about another 20 beers. The top shelf is all things we've gotten new just this week, and the shelf below that is last week. There's just so many new things. Yeah, I don't like to blow up the Instagram feed with all new stuff. So I try, you know, I put pictures of Bubba, who's our shop dog. We put pictures of the special tasting event things we'll have, that kind of thing.
The funny thing is like when I first came here, I signed up for the newsletter,
mm-hmm.
and I get an email to me.
Yeah, once a week.
And I'm like, you know, like smacking my lips. Like, why not?
We're only 170 miles away.
It's true. Yeah.
So yes,
small price to pay.
Like you said, Witchcraft is on South Lamar. If you're ever in Austin, stop in. Bring your dogs. It's dog friendly.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm about to go pet the one that's in here in a little bit. So,
and write out a list because
there's plenty of stuff. Bring some cash. Not saying that it's expensive. It's just like there's so much here to grab.
Yeah, and we try and find a lot of things that you can't find a lot of places either.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much, Jody.
Of course. Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you, and hopefully our listeners enjoyed us drinking beers and listening to the descriptions.
Totally.
So, until next time.
Cool. All right. Thanks, guys. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ooh, I got a new one for you. I like the way that sounds. I'm up to do it for you. I like to break it down. This joint has got me open. Ooh, that's my favorite song. I put my thing in motion. I do it all night long. I put my thing in motion.
So that was Do It by Tuxedo. Their album just came out. It's really good. It's very, very funky.
You know what, like them, like, you know, Mayor Hawthorne and like Chromeo, they're not super mainstream. And like, you know, if it gets too mainstream, we'll probably, but it sucks as they're not as mainstream because they're freaking groovy. It's much better than, you know, what the, all of what y'all kids dancing to nowadays.
Like that Bruno Mars and that.
I'm gonna Bruno. Okay, no, I got Bruno Mars is pretty legit.
Oh, you're just saying that because he's Filipino.
He's like a third Filipino. I don't know the percentage Filipino he is.
And no. He's, you know, and you know, artists like that. What's that? Piharol?
Piharol, who got sued? Yeah, even Robin Thicke. That's like $7.7 million, right? Or $71 million.
I think that's probably chump change for him.
Yeah, he has all that money in his hat.
And you can find Tuxedo on stonesthrow.com. That's their record label. Also, they were lucky enough to get facebook.com/Tuxedo, which I don't know why, to me is kind of odd that was still open, you know. So we talked about Staple earlier and how it was a magnificent time. And we actually got an interview with Bab Star. She redesigned Batgirl, really cool new kind of design for them. Functional.
Yeah, that's what she said. More functional. It's kind of cool. I like the clasps on her cape. She has a jacket, like combat boots, and you know, like and like the straps to keep all her stuff. It looks really cool.
Yeah, it does. And I mean, she's such a nice person. Like we said, I was actually intimidated at first, and then we talked, and I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, and you can see her her thoughts about Sailor Moon Crystal, which is jabs the same way of my thinking. You'll hear that, listeners, on shortly.
Yeah, so this is the interview that we had with Bab Star. We're going to go back to the live recording after it.
We're here with Bab Star at Staple, which we're enjoying lots, and we are huge fans. I think we spent like, what, $200 here already?
Not even mad.
Collectively, we went down, that's, $200.
So, a couple quick questions. First, we've got to ask you about the redesign for Batgirl. I know you've probably been asked a lot about it, but the motivation and the inspiration for it.
Me and Cameron collaborated on it, and he had this great base design done, and but she had like a leather jacket and pants, and I was like, oh, that leather jacket, it didn't have any details on it, and I was like, that could be so cool. I got excited as soon as I saw it, and like, as you can see, like biker and leather jackets and stuff and tough ladies, those are a lot of influence on my artwork, so I kind of took it and ran with it, and I added these streamlines to her outfit, and then I added like the zippers to kind of break up the lines, and then he kind of had an old school Batgirl belt on her, and I thought, you know, it's nothing you hadn't already seen before, and I was like, oh, I'll give her like a half Tomb Raider like thigh strappy thing, and it'll add a little sexiness to the costume but still not be like obscene or anything, plus it's like practical because it keeps that pouch like not flapping around while she's fighting crime. And
the coolest part of the costume you have is the button cape.
Cameron had already had that down.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is so really clever. Really
cool. Yeah, someone had pop it off, and there's like when it gets tough and the cape's getting in the way, just pop it off.
Yeah, man. Someone had even made some fan art that said, "Oh snap!" and then it was in the Batgirl symbol, and it was awesome. Like it was so cool. I think she even made T-shirts of it, and it's really cool. And I can't really like be like, go do it, go get it, because it's like not DC property, but it's really cool and you should go get it.
So aside from that, like, well, deriving from that question, what is the inspiration for your art come from in terms of the style?
It's kind of all the stuff that I love. I feel like my career didn't really pick up until I like admitted that, you know what, I really just like drawing pinups and like but I like tough girls, like I like that they're like come closer but not too close, cracked knuckles. That's kind of my aesthetic in a nutshell.
It works. I love it. So if you had free reign to like give your tough girl like redesign to anybody, who would it be?
Oh, I don't know. I feel like I've already done so many. I like took Sailor Moon and I did, I revamped them to be tougher, and then I just like kept doing it to my other characters. I have like a cool Chun-Li. I don't know if you've ever seen that one.
What about like any of the older magical girls, like Magical Knight Rayearth?
I was like a Sailor Moon girl. I didn't really get into those other.
She's not a huge weeaboo.
Knockoffs, okay? They took Sailor Moon and they ran with it, and I mean, it's okay.
Have you been keeping up with Crystal?
Yeah, no, I hate it. Crystal. It's like, I feel like it's, I must feel like what Star Wars fans feel, you know,
the prequels.
And I was like, oh, it's worse.
My wife is a big Sailor Moon fan and she does not.
It's like they took all the heart out of the anime and they stomped on it and ran over it and took a shit on it. And that's what Crystal is.
I totally agree with that.
And the art is bad. Like, not only is the character design, like, not pleasing, like, the animation, sometimes eyeballs, like, are just, one is on one side of the face and one is on the other, and it's, like, not even in the same hemisphere. I don't know. It's not good.
We actually, like, had maybe 20 people together for, like, a viewing party for the first episode.
Yeah, the first one was good, and then the second one was, like, okay.
They just spent their budget on the first one.
I know. And I'm like, you guys, this is going to be, it's going to do well. You can put some money into it, okay, guys? But someone was saying Toei, isn't that who makes it?
Yeah,
they don't make good stuff or something.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, and like if it was another studio, it would probably look way cooler. And then the 3D transformations.
Oh, no.
Oh my God, I almost cried when I first saw that.
And they're too gratuitous. They're too much. So much. It's like too long.
It's not good. I don't like it.
And then,
sorry, I could go on and on about Crystal.
We actually had one of our listeners out here who recognized us. She actually hung out with you last night, Drea.
Oh yeah, I love her.
Yeah, she's sweet. She actually asked if, like, who are your like inspirations in the nerd community, you know, for the tough girls.
Oh, you mean like real life or our characters? I really like Black Canary. She's probably, I mean, I'm gonna be sad to not get to draw her because she's gonna go get her own title, but she's been really fun to get to know as a character and draw. And I'm sad I'm gonna lose her, but hopefully I'll get to do like a variant cover for those guys. And I think Wonder Woman's pretty badass. Like, I try to give mine some guns and make her look like she actually was like an Amazon sort of, but also very like stoic and beautiful. So that's kind of like ways to aspire to.
Have you seen any of those DC shorts where they had Wonder Woman in the car?
Yes.
That was badass.
The statue looks so good. Have you seen the statue?
Yes.
I'm not like a toy person, but that one I want.
That's not a toy. That's
a
statue.
Also mine. But you know what I mean.
I'm a big pointer. So.
All right, settle down. You know what I mean.
I need articulation to call it a toy.
All right, toy guy. Well,
what about in real life?
Real life ladies that I think are badass. I admire a lot of other women in the industry. I feel like I'm only getting to know them now, but I've been on every panel, like women in comics panel I've been on. All of the ladies up there are super badass, tough women that have been in the industry like way before this like new turnaround is happening, and they're just tough as nails. Like they know so much about why the things are the way they are, and I feel like I was learning as much behind the panel as I was like the audience was. Who was really impressive? Barbara Kessler. She like wrote Batgirl. Back in the day, she was really awesome. Who draws Harley Quinn? She's really great. Jennifer Connelly. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do, but I think it is Connelly.
Connelly is definitely her last name. And she, every time I see her, she's super bubbly and super awesome, and we like totally gush, and she's awesome. And I think I'm really inspired by the other ladies that have been here for a while and they've like stuck with it. And
awesome. So thank you very much for taking the time to talk with us.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm sorry. I hope that interview is okay.
it's fine. You know.
Great.
I mean, we paid her coke to interview.
You did. You earned it. Like most people.
Well, thank you very much again. And of course, you've got like social media, Babs Tar everywhere. Right?
Yeah, Babs Draws for Instagram, Tumblr, and Twitter.
Awesome.
Cool. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you. And Batgirl is new. Batgirl is out in a couple weeks, and you guys should pick it up. It's the last issue of our 6-issue arc, so check it out. And we got a big surprise at the end. It's going to be really cool.
Oh wow, that's awesome. All right, well, thank you again, Babs.
Thank you.
So once again, that was Babs Tarr at Stable 2015. So you saw her Tough Girl stuff.
Yeah.
You know that, like, she likes to make, you know, her female characters really tough.
Yep.
What is someone that you would like to see her redesign?
Oh, it's like a tough character. I'm trying to think, and I don't want to think too hard because I'm thinking is not good radio. I really don't know. Maybe Strawberry Shortcake.
What?
Okay, you start.
Chitara.
Oh, okay. Chitara.
Or I could just call upon my waifu and say Gadget.
Gadget. Yeah. Okay. Your waifu is Gadget. So Chitara would be freaking cool. She-Ra, I guess.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, She-Ra. Then yeah, that'd be pretty awesome. I think she'd be. What's the name that dinosaur thing she rides, or whatever thing she rides?
The unicorn.
Is it a unicorn?
It's like a Pegasus or something.
A Pegasus. Where'd they get dinosaur? Yeah, dude, I think it'd be freaking rad if she made kind of. I want to see a little bit more stylized. Because she has a good range. Like you see her like Batgirl stuff, then you see her like her Sailor Moon biker girls, mm-hmm. and then her Bulma, which is like her Bulma is a little bit more like an anime, very cutesy look, and then their Sailor biker girls a little bit more stylized.
The biker girls, yeah.
Yeah, those are really awesome. Like she has a great range, and I want to see like She-Ra. A little bit
as an actual. Well, did you see her Wonder Woman that she had?
Yeah, well, Wonder Woman was badass.
You know, she was talking about in the interview. It's like, you know, I gave her guns. I made her, you know, more tougher and stuff.
Yeah.
I think it would follow the same design, but yeah. You know.
But yeah, so I also liked it when I asked her about that DC short that they did. I don't know if you saw it. It was it was a really quick retelling of like Wonder Woman's like not really origin. It's when what's his name the guy that crash lands into
Superman. He crash lands on and
no, oh, it's not Superman.
Oh
no, the one who crash lands into the pilot guy.
Sinestro or
no, he was Green Lantern. Pilot. He was Wonder Woman's boyfriend.
I know.
God dang it. Anyway, she has like a badass car and everything. It was a really cool DC short.
You just made me think like how many like at least two heroes' origins depend on planes crashing. Like Superman and Green Lantern.
Well, it wasn't Wonder Woman's story. It was just basically the. How they found the whole Amazonian race was because of this pilot crash landing into where they live, Themyscira or whatever.
Yeah.
But
Amazonia, yeah. Amazonian warrior.
Stop. But yeah, Chitara, Miko, and She-Ra would be pretty rad. Anything else? What do you think?
I'm sorry, that CSI. Episode is just gonna give us
it's so bad but Amazonian Warriors is better than Civ 5 than with a Brave New World expansion
according to Kotaku. And then, you know, moving along with video games, I downloaded Hotline Miami 2. I've been playing it.
I downloaded it, but I have not played it.
Oh, you shouldn't play it.
Why not?
Just so I can finish it and just spoil everything for you. It's really good. I saw PC Gamer gave it like a 57 out of 100.
Yeah, they said it was an unneeded follow-up. Do you agree with that?
I don't want to agree with it because I've been having fun. It's okay.
If it's fun,
The cutscenes are maybe like a minute, 2 minutes. you know, it's nothing that you can't like just press the A button or because I use controller.
So it's a cutscene's a really big deal because we had cutscenes in the first one. It's just between levels. Then you go into that room and then those masks will talk to you and tell you how you're a bad person.
It's basically just the same thing.
Yeah. So why was everyone making a big deal about the cutscenes?
Because I think it's a. They released comics to go with, you know, the release. They think they released 5 issues. And I think if, because I didn't read them, I think if you read them, they give a lot of lore to it.
Okay.
But coming in and just playing the game as is, it's the same kind of mystique as the first game.
Okay. Because I like the whole mystery of the game. And then when you...
Well, it starts off in the future.
Oh, like the...
Well, not in the future. Well, for the game. It starts off in, like, 91, and then it goes back to 89, and then it skips to, like, 92. Like, it skips around. And there's a lot of players that... Like, you're using different people in it. You're no longer just, like, Biker or Jacket or anything.
Okay.
But, I mean, it's still the violent fun that Hotline Miami 1 was...
Okay.
I know there was the big controversy with the sexual violence thing on there. They did go ahead and put a, if you want to skip it, you're allowed to. You know.
Okay, well, yeah. I know, like, yeah, the times we live in, you have to be a little bit sensitive about that. But at the same time, if they think it adds to the story, they should, you know, keep people, you know.
What's it's funny because like in that same PC Gamer review, they said, you know, why did they include that sexual violence if it's not as important to the story that they can just omit it?
Mm-hmm.
But that omission was mainly because there was a call for it,
yeah.
Not because it wasn't important, or not like you're, you know, I'm pretty sure you're not going to be missing like this. Oh man, this scene that you have to watch, or if not, you can't beat the game.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Or whatever, but it's still fun, and the soundtrack. Oh man,
is the action still tight and precise? It's still the crazy action where you're like, ah! Yeah,
it is, and the music. It's just been so like it pumps so much harder than the last one. Like I'm so glad about that. Like I'm in it, and I normally have one ear. Uncovered. I don't know why. Like I have this like habit of like halfway covering one ear with my headset.
Okay.
But for this game, I'm like full on.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You were playing some of the music earlier. A couple weeks ago, because I think some of the soundtrack got not all leaked or released. And I was like, man, this is wicked.
Yeah, and then like speaking of the Hotline Miami, you know, the inspiration was Drive. I've been gushing about a movie for like the last 2 weeks, and you need to watch it as soon as so do our listeners. I watched The Guest, which is the dude that does, he directs the VHS movies that got famous on Netflix.
Yeah. Which is hilarious because the whole point of the VHS movies is you renting the VHS. So you watching on streaming kind of like,
No, but he ended up directing, making this one movie called The Guest, and it is basically Drive Part 2.
Okay.
I mean, I swear that he was like, you know what, I'm going to make Drive Part 2, let's make the actor look like Ryan Gosling too.
Does he do like long staring, like long smoldering
stares? Yes, he does. He does like those weird like long stares and stuff, and...
I saw this picture. It was so great that it was like it was what you call it in Drive. What's her face? Well, the girl in Drive.
Uh-huh.
And it basically asked Ryan Gosling, like, "Do you like me?" And then it's just like 20 frames of Ryan Gosling just staring at her, the same frame. And then yes. And then the last panel was him stomping the guy's head. Face. And he goes, Drive, summary of Drive.
didn't they confirm him for like the Beast in the live action Beauty and the Beast?
I think so. I think so.
That's going to be beautiful.
Well, he's a beautiful man. I mean, just to say.
But I'm just saying the end where she's like, he's going to transform back into the human. And yeah, you know, Belle's going to be so excited. He's going to be there just staring.
Did you know what I did a couple of years ago? I think at work, we were like, doing like a Halloween thing. And then like, I just came, I bought it like a plush of a duck. And I just went up to work and they're like, what are you supposed to do? I'm like, I'm Ryan. This is my Gosling. I'm Ryan's Gosling.
Oh, God.
Yeah, they're like, shut up. You're not part of this contest. I'm like, whatever. It was worth it.
I almost thought you were going to be like, I went to go buy one of those drive jackets and try to look cool.
No. Where can you get a drive jacket?
You got to get them custom made.
Oh, okay. I saw one of my favorite photos is I saw a picture of Scorpion from Mortal Kombat wearing a drive jacket with a picture of Ryan Gosling on the back.
You know who wears a drive jacket?
Who?
Kojima. The well, Metal Gear Solid developer. Like, that's, he loves his drive jacket.
You know, if there's any one person you could let get away with a drive jacket, it's Hideo Kojima. He could be wearing like a hat made of fruit, and you'd be like, yeah, all right, Kojima, do your thing.
I have him with a like, it looks like a bonnet or something, like a little hat that looks like a chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And I just laughed. And now that made that into Metal Gear Solid 5.
Really?
Like chicken hats. Yeah, I was like, wow.
I thought it was kind of weird when he was like, it was like Metal Gear Solid Ground Zeroes when he was in there and you had to rescue God and he was God. Remember?
Yes.
Yeah. Kojima. Oh, Kojima. You are a treasure.
You know, these two pre-recorded interviews helped us and made this show not seem very long and help Brian not get too drunk so he doesn't start being all creepy.
Yeah, I haven't eaten dinner yet, so yeah.
Oh, man. So we're going to go ahead and kind of wind down the show. Just as a reminder, Staple is over. Up next is Anime Matsuri. We'll have a really cool anime edition of the podcast. Mm-hmm. It may not be the SCN podcast. We'll have like one of our special edition podcasts. We have a really cool lineup of people lined up to do it. I don't want to spoil anything yet, but should be a lot of fun.
All we can tell you, it's about anime
and Hideo Kojima.
and Hideo Kojima, the Hideo Kojima cast. What did he say on Twitter today?
And then after that, of course, we're going to be working on Comic Palooza. We're very close to revealing the plans that we have for this year, as well as hunting down some interviews and stuff beforehand. If you guys want us to try and interview anybody from the guest list, let us know and we'll do our best to get to them.
And if you're someone famous like Ryan Gosling, Stan Lee, or you know, you let us interview you, just say, hey, you can interview me, and I'll be like, all right.
We're gonna close it off with one more kind of dancey track. This is actually off the guest soundtrack, which is amazing. Ryan like bumped it all the way to Austin and back until I told him it was making me sleepy.
I've listened to the whole movie. I've not yet seen the movie, and I've felt like I've listened to that movie already.
This is Antonio by Annie, not by Lady Gaga, but Annie. Really cool, weird track and all. And so that's going to do it for this week. So on behalf of myself and Ryan, good night, Space City.